Psalm 11. We'll begin in verse number 1 and we'll read down through part of Psalm 12, Lord willing here. In thee, Lord, put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Who is Lord over us? I want to look at some things as we look back through this passage, and beginning in verse number 2 of Psalm 11, it says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. The first thing I want to talk about is the evil enemies. The evil enemies. Now, I know the spiritual state this world is in, the spiritual state this country is in, the spiritual state that the churches are in. A lot of people are looking at these verses and they're saying, well, there it is, the evil against the good, and it's a battle between Biden and Trump. It's a battle between, it's not, it's a battle between Satan and Jesus Christ. And, I've heard somebody say the other day, well, they're comparing what Trump is going through with the persecution of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, whoa, back the train up here. You're talking about a sinful, wicked man that if he goes to heaven, he's only going because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're talking about the perfect God, Jesus Christ, and comparing. That's ridiculous. The enemy, the evil enemy that we're talking about, the evil enemies that we're talking about, are the children of the devil versus the children of God, the spiritual wickedness in high places that Ephesians chapter number 6 talks about. We battle not against flesh and blood. It's not about whether one politician can beat another politician, or one politician can put another politician in prison, or one politician can outspeak another politician, or what have you. It's about a battle between good and evil that's a spiritual battle. And we don't fight this battle with carnal things. We can't fight the battles ahead of us, the battles around us, with worldly things, with carnal things. We do like Jesus Christ if we're wise, and we fight the battle with the Word of God. When the devil tempted Jesus Christ continually said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You better know what's written. Amen. You better open that Bible and read that Bible and show up for Bible studies and find out how to rightly divide that book, and understand where we're at, and we're getting out of here soon, and realize that, so some bozo don't tell you you're going through the tribulation, or there is no rapture, or something like that. We've got a Bible, and we say, it is written. When the devil says, the church is done, you're done, you might as well quit, you can say, it is written. It is written, it is written. You know what's written? He's coming to get us. Amen? How do you get out of bed in the morning? Because it is written. I mean, you look around at this dumpster fire that we're in the middle of, how could you even, without the Word of God, without understanding what is written, without being able to rightly divide, without faith and trust and confidence in God Almighty, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, knowing who God is, how could you even get out of bed in the morning with a smile on your face ever? It is written. But there are evil enemies everywhere. And evil enemies, how does this work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. The way God is able to use men if they allow Him to, the devil is able to use men if they allow Him to. So if your focus is on greed and worldly things and money and carnal things, the devil will be able to use you and God will be able to refuse you. Amen. But if your focus is on lifting up Jesus Christ and glorifying Him and magnifying Him and bragging on Him and believing the Word of God and glorifying the Son of God and talking about the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection and telling people about Jesus Christ, God will be able to use you and you'll be able to refuse the devil. So this battle, these evil men, there are men, enemies out there that are being used of the devil, and there are far too few people that are being able to be used of God today. Amen. We're in the last days of the church age. We're going home. Evil enemies. You say, how could they get away with that? You ever think that? How could they get away with that? Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Donald, whoever, pick one. Doesn't matter if they're red or blue. You look at what they're doing, and you're looking at both sides. You got a bunch of people up there that are supposed to be making less than $200,000 a year, and they're all filthy rich after they're in there 5-6 years. They've got insider trading going on, allegedly, and all this other stuff. I say allegedly, just in case they're listening. We know you're guilty. Amen. Amen. You've been tried and the balances have found wanting. You know, all these people, you know, they end up in multi-millionaires and then they get on there and they pretend like they care if you have a dime or not. And the truth is, God cares. How are they getting away with it? They're not getting away with it. Look at verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The Lord's not in Washington worried about how the politics are going to turn out. His throne is in heaven. His ways are not His ways. Our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He's beyond our understanding. He's looking down here. Look what it says. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The eyes of the Lord. The evil enemies, we see the eyes of the Lord. Nobody is getting away with anything. They might be able to load their bank account here. They might be able to build up their stock portfolio here. They might be able to use and abuse people here, but they're not getting away with anything because one day they will stand before God Almighty and have to give an account of what they did with what God gave them. They're not getting away with it. It is written. The evil enemies, the eyes of the Lord. Saved people aren't getting away with it either. Say, well, God don't look at me anymore because I'm saved. Oh, no, He still sees everything. Amen. You'll still stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you'll still be able to either lay something down at Jesus Christ's feet and say, Lord, You are worthy, or say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, me, oh, my, I'm sorry. That'd probably be the tears He wipes away. The ones that we cry because we've done nothing for Jesus Christ when He's done everything for us. But the eyes of the Lord, 5 and 6, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. We've seen the evil enemies. We've seen the eyes of the Lord are upon them. The eyes see everything. His eyes see everything. Now we see the end of the wicked. Look what it says here again. It says He tries the righteous, and it says the wicked. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. What will the portion of your cup be? If you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been given an opportunity to glorify Him with what life you have and to be able to stand on the other side of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am thankful that it wasn't all hay, wood, and stubble. If it wasn't for You, everything would have burned up. I've got this little bit to lay at Your feet, and I am so glad that the cup of my portion has something in it to lay at Your feet. But the wicked, they're going to be judged. They're going to be fire and brimstone. The cup of their... portion of their cup is judgment. The end of the wicked. There are going to be folks on this earth after the church leaves, probably soon. There are going to be folks on this earth that are going to go through things that they'd never imagined. Things that would make science fiction movies look like Little Orphan Annie or something. Things that would make that twisted Steven Spielberg stuff look like Mary Poppins. There's going to be a judgment allowed to be dumped out on this earth that's going to be like no judgment's ever been before. And in the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus Christ comes back and tramples the enemy underfoot and blood runs a bridle deep on the horses, the end of the wicked. 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the battle will be able to, the devil will be able to get folks together to battle against the holy city, Jerusalem, against God and his people, and God will send fire down from heaven to devour them. The end of the wicked. That great white throne of judgment where the wicked will stand, the lost will stand, and if their name won't be found written in the book of life, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire, the end of the wicked. The evil enemies aren't getting away with it. The eyes of the Lord seeing, the righteous judge will judge. Thank God we were judged on Calvary. If you're saved today, you've been judged on Calvary, and you've been found clean now. Amen. You have imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ on your account, and God the Father look at you and say, I see my perfect Son. Praise God. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail among the children of men. We see the lack of faith. The lack of faith. How in the world do we get in the position we're in? Well, first of all, the world's never been as good as man thought it was since the garden. Man always likes to think a little bit better of themselves than we really are. So the world's always been a dumpster since sin started, but it's just getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers should wax worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. And it's waxing worse and worse day by day. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And isn't that encouraging? It really is, because that means we're getting out of here sooner. Depends on how you look at it, man. My cup's completely full. Amen. We're getting out of here. But the lack of faith in God's Word. People don't believe the Bible anymore. Oh, you know that book. You know, that written by men. And, you know, they'll believe anything they hear, anything they read. But if you mention the Bible, I don't believe that. I believe anything and everything else, but I don't believe that. Well, anything and everything else didn't tell them they're going to go to hell without Christ. Anything and everything else didn't tell them they're going to be judged by a righteous judge. Anything and everything else didn't tell them that their sins are wrong. Kind of boggles my mind when I'm talking to folks and they're like, well, you're God, and how could he be this, and how could he do this, and how could he allow this, and then them talking about their sin. You think my lifestyle's a sin? I know it is. I have a Bible. It is written. And they're upset because you think they have a sin. And what they don't realize is that the word sin is a Bible term they're using on themselves. If they don't believe the book, why should they be upset about their sin? Why should it be seen if I would say their sin is a sin? Oh, why don't you just forget the Bible words? I mean, everything's good, feel good, do it, do what you want to do, don't worry about it. But judgment's coming, the eyes of the Lord, he sees all that stuff, the end of the wicked's coming, the lack of faith is evident, the lack of faith in God's Word, people don't believe God's Word, people don't fear God, people don't fear judgment. Brother Terry and I were talking about that, wake him up, tell him, we were talking about this earlier. We were talking about this earlier. He didn't have enough coffee. We were talking about this earlier. People don't fear judgment. We're talking about kids and being raised well, Johnny, now if you burn another house down, we're going to put you in time out. Sooner or later, Johnny, you're going to learn. No, Johnny's never going to learn that way. The Bible says, he that loveth his son, chasten his son. If you spare the rod, you hate the child, not spoil the child. Judgment should start in the house of God, and judgment should start in God's house and God's people's houses. The people that are raised up, they can do anything they want. They never get in trouble. They get, oh, I'm disappointed in you. How could you kill the neighbor's cat and perform seances at 5 years old and burn down a house? And I'm just so disappointed with you. One, two, don't make me count to three. Put your shoe back on and relax in. Amen? But people are not afraid of judgment anymore. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of judgment. And they despise the truth. Oh, you and that Bible. You and that book. And you and all that rules and all that stuff. And why don't you just live and let live? Well, it is written. Amen? We've got a Bible. We learn right and wrong not from our grade school teachers and not always from our mom and dad, but always from the Word of God. That's where right and wrong comes from. The basis for right and wrong, all true authority and all real truth is right here written in the words of God. But the lack of faith in God's Word, the lack of fear of God, they don't fear judgment, they despise the truth. Look at verse 2 in Psalm 12. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The lips of the ungodly, they speak vanity with his neighbor. It's openness. It's emptiness. It's meaningless. It's worthless. I don't know about you, but the farther I get down the road of being saved and staying, you know, being in walking with God, the more I realize how pointless most of the stuff that goes on in the world is. I mean, people get together and they'll talk about, did you see LeBron James make that jump shot from 3 foot away, being 9 foot tall, with a 10 foot basket? Did you see him reach over there and drop it in, the skill it took? The finesse he had? Did you watch that soccer game? Did you see this? Did you see what Biden did? Did you see what Trump did? And no mention of Jesus Christ, no thought of the Bible, no thought of a coming judgment, no realization that the eyes of the Lord are upon them, no realization that one day they'll stand before Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and have to admit that He is the true authority, that He is the truth, He is the standard by which all men will be judged. And everything else really is doesn't mean anything. Well, they had a meeting at work the other day, and I'll tell you what, they're going to clean the restrooms twice a week now instead of once, and I'm upset about that because they could have given that money to me instead of paying a janitor. And you know, 2 weeks down the road, that don't mean anything. I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff, and then the flattering words with a double heart. You know what he's saying? They'll tell you things to make you feel good so they can take advantage of you. Amen. Everybody. You say, well, how did we end up with Biden? Because people are like Biden. Amen. The average conservative, quote-unquote conservative Americans, just like him. They say what they say to benefit themselves. They do what they do to benefit themselves. They live their lives to benefit themselves. And then when God allows a leader to be put in office that openly and blatantly does the same thing, people are like, how could you? How did we end up here? He's a representative of the people, by the people, and for the people. Amen. I still think there hadn't been a president that didn't belong in prison since Ronald Reagan. Seriously, I believe that. You know, I, like I say, if I vote, I'm probably going to write in Jesus anyway. But here we are in this mess where people, everything, almost everything people do is for their own benefit. Say, so, well, I know these people out there, they have millions of dollars and they give away all this money all the time. Yeah, they write it off on their taxes. They write it off on their taxes so they get a pat on their back so the world can say, look at them, the philanthropists. They give all this money and do all these good things. Hey, yes, they can write it off on their taxes. And so you can brag on them. How, where are the people out there that God has bestowed all these gifts on that go, hey, look, this doesn't belong to me anyway. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to tell Jesus Christ, God gave that to you. That's not for me. That's from the Lord. I prayed about it. The Lord wants you to have that. That was His money. It was His whatever, and that was from the Lord. That's gone. That's almost gone. But talks about their lips and their flattering words and the lack of faith, the lips of the ungodly. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 12. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We see the lost man's attitude. That's the lost man's attitude. Who's Lord over us? I'll do what I want to do. I'll say what I want to say. I'll be who I want to be. I'll decide. I make the decisions. I'm the king of my house. I'm the one. I'm the final authority here. I decide this is my life. I'm going to do it my way. Worked out good for Elvis, didn't it? He did it his way. No blue eyes that couldn't sing a lick. Frank. I mean, that guy, good night, man. Him and who's that that liberal, that Looney Tunes, that trying to think of the guy from Pennsylvania or whatever that he's a rock singer or whatever. Springsteen. I mean, Frank and whoever, and Frank, old Blue Eyes and Springsteen, neither one of them could sing a lick. And they got all that power and all that money. They did it their way. But Springsteen, unless he gets saved, he's headed the same place old Blue Eyes went. That's where you go when you do it your way. You got to trust Christ. That's His way. But the lost man's attitude is, I'm going to do what I want to do. Who's Lord over us? You ever tell somebody, well, you know what the Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but to get to God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That book says that if thou shalt confess I am not the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You get to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You start telling people that, that's how you get saved. You got to believe that you're a sinner. You got to believe he died, was buried, and rose again. You got to call on him and ask him to forgive you and save you. And they go, what? Who's Lord over us? Jesus Christ and Luke, and he's given the parable of the pounds, and he was talking about these servants, and he's talking about the parable of the pounds, and they said, we shall not have this man to be ruler over us. And that's what the world says. You see, the man Christ Jesus, he came, he lived a sinless life, he walked a perfect road, he went to Calvary, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he come up out of that grave with victory so you could have eternal life, and if you call on him, he'll save you and take you to heaven. And they'll go, well, not have this man to rule over us. You know what Israel said? The reason there's a church age, by the way, praise God, I'm glad there's a church age, but the reason there's a church age, we have no king but Caesar. They rejected King Jesus. I talk to people all the time, tell them how to get saved, and they reject King Jesus. We'll not have this man to rule over us. That's what they're saying. Had people say, well, I'd like to get saved, but I'm not ready to quit sinning yet. We'll not have this man to rule over us. And you have people say, well, I don't believe that. I believe that 60 gazillion years ago, the nothing turned into everything, and everything turned into monkeys, and everything that turned into monkeys turned into everything else, and we come out of that monkey mess somehow, and we believe that. You know what they're saying? We'll not have this man rule over us. But you know what? One day, they will have that man rule over them because they reject Jesus Christ. They'll sit at the white throne of judgment. They'll stand there at the white throne of judgment. They're on their face at the white throne of judgment, and they'll say, he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords, and for a brief time, he'll rule over them and cast them in the lake of fire. They might say, we'll not have this man now, but that man, Jesus Christ, God himself, will judge sinners. We'll not have this man rule over us. But he will. He will. They think, you see, just like it says here, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? With our tongue. They think just because they say it, it's going to become true. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to make it. We're going to be there. We're going to, because they say it, it becomes true. And you say, well, you know what? God said it, so it is true. Well, that can't be. What I say has to be true. And I think that if there is a God, that he's going to let me in. Well, just because they say it, and I don't believe they really believe it, but just because they say it don't mean it's going to become true. But you know what? When God says it, it has already become true. Amen. Revelation chapter number 20, 21, 22 is already true. It's already written. You say, well, maybe this or that or that. No, 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 no. It is written. It is written. I'll tell you how this ends. Well, maybe if we could just shut down all the coal plants, and maybe we could get pretty little butterflies to flap their wings hard enough to power your car. And maybe you won't even need batteries. Maybe we can put some fairy dust in there. Amen? Fairy dust would probably go over pretty big anymore, but anyway, that's another story. Maybe if this, that, and the other, we could just save this planet. No, it is written. It is written. You can't save it. No matter how much money or whatever your supposed good intentions are, you're not going to save it. Jesus Christ is going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years, and after that, he's going to burn this place to the ground. The elements will melt with the fervent heat. So no matter what you say, what you do, what you think, who you pay, who you vote for, what kind of car you drive, what kind of lights you use, what kind of a solar system you have in your power and your whatever, it is written. This place is going to burn up with the fervent heat, and those folks will probably still be flying that rainbow flag out there dancing around saying, nah, 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 we got your rainbow flag, and God's going to go, pfft. It's gone. The lost man's attitude. Who is Lord over us? How about saved people? We got saved people. We got Bible believers who are real good about this. I'm saved and I can rightly divide the Bible. No matter what I do, I'm still saved. You know what they're saying? Who is Lord over us? You're bought with a price. It's another thing me and Brother Terry were talking about, the way they're doing things and the way they're setting things up to make you feel like you have no rights and you have no power, you have no nothing, because, you know, the ATF gets a scratch and they want to itch it, they can kick your door in and blow your head off. They don't care. It doesn't matter, and they're not accountable. The IRS, you don't own anything. You're renting stuff from the government. They decide they want it, they can take it. The laws are written so ambiguously and so contorted and convoluted that anybody that ever walked the face of this earth besides Jesus Christ is guilty of something. And they can prove it in the court of law, and as we see now, they don't even have to prove it. They can make it up. There's not a single possibility of a living human being keeping every law without any possibility of breaking one. But they want you to think you have no power, and they own you. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Donald Trump doesn't own me. Joseph Biden doesn't own me. Nancy Pelosi doesn't own me. Clarence Thomas doesn't own me. Kavanaugh doesn't own me. Sotomayor doesn't own me. Jesus Christ owns me. They want you to fear man with no fear of God. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. That's what the Bible says. And it says, don't fear him that can take to kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and the soul. Cast them into fire. They want you to not fear God and to fear man. You know what the Bible says? The fear of man bringeth a snare. You start fearing man, you'll get caught in a trap where you won't serve God. And you'll put your faith and confidence in man. And you'll fear man and not fear God. I mean, who knows? Maybe Putin will win our next election. The way the votes go, who knows what's going on? It could happen. Maybe the KGB will show up here and they'll kick the door open and they'll shoot this preacher dead. Praise God, I'm already saved, whatever. So what? I still belong to Jesus Christ. Maybe the people's last choice will get in for the next 8 years. The one they don't want, and they'll outlaw the Word of God, which they've already outlawed that kind of with hate speech. You can do it, but there's a challenge to it now. There didn't used to be. Maybe they'll say, if you preach the Word of God, we'll put you in prison. Maybe they'll say, if you say anything about the sodomites or the other perverts in the Bible, you say anything about anybody that's not kind and loving, they'll put you in prison. Maybe if you get up in the pulpit and you say, well, you know what, I'm not picking a side, the Democrats and Republicans, this is not a political speech, this is a reality speech, this is a message on the truth, and the truth is man is wicked, man deserves to burn in hell, and unless the government gets right and they realize the foundation of Jesus Christ is what this country was started on, where all this place is in a dumpster, ain't never getting out of it, maybe say, well, you talked against the government, we're going to put you in prison. Still belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Might have a number. You know, I hope mine's 007. Amen. They put me in the prison. There's the preacher 007 right there. Amen. 008. Amen. But that's not the number I'm worried about. The number of people ought to be worried about if they're not saved. I'm not worried about any of the numbers. But people that aren't saved ought to be worried about 666, because it's coming. It's coming. But the lost man's attitude, who is Lord over us? Oh, we're bought with a price. If I belong to Jesus Christ, he's supposed to be my Lord. Amen. Not Trump. Not Biden. Not Pope whoever. Not the bishop, not the preacher, but Jesus Christ. The lack of faith, despising of truth, the lips of the ungodly, the lost man's attitude. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 12. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You know what he said? What they say, with our lips, with our tongue, we'll prevail. Our lips are our own. Who's Lord over us? We see the last word. You know what the last word is? God's word. Isn't it interesting? Jump down to 6 and 7 and see what 6 and 7 says here. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, Jesus Christ, shall not pass away. He's talking about the words of man. Man's talking about their words and how they're going to go by their words and their lips. They're going to do what they want to do. Who will be Lord over us? And then the next few verses down here, we see the Lord's words that endure forever, not man's words. I mean, man might get a chance at the great white throne judgment to give some of his words, but they're going to be burned up and gone, and God's words will still be marching on. Amen. The last word's God's word. You know, people don't realize that. I've told people that. I try to have the right heart about it. Sometimes I don't. I tell people, hey, look, at the end of the line, your bank account is not going to mean anything. Your Jaguar is not going to mean anything. Your Bentley is not going to mean anything. Your Corvette is not going to mean anything. Amen. Your Thunderbird, I'll kick Fords too. Your Thunderbird is not going to mean anything. If you've got a Chrysler, just get right with God. I'm sorry. No, but they're all junk. Just put a different tag on them. Amen. Man's hands and all the mess that you have with all everything man's made and everything man does, it's always going to fall apart just the way it goes. But God has the last word. Jump back up to Psalm 11 and look at verse number 3. And we'll talk about this for just a minute. Or more. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I was listening to a preacher here a while back, and he said something that really hit me. In that verse, when that was written, it said, if the foundations be destroyed. Now the foundations are destroyed. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? The foundations are destroyed. What shall the righteous do? The devil has done everything he could to destroy the foundations. He tried to destroy the foundation on Calvary. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He's our rock. He's the chief cornerstone. He is the one that everything that we believe is founded on and based on. And it is written, it is written, it is written. It's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's about the incarnate Christ. It's about the fact that He died, was buried, and rose again. And the only way to heaven right now is to trust Him and to call on Him and to get in through Him. Have His imputed righteousness to get in. Now that the foundations are destroyed, what are the foundations? Faith in the Word of God. Destroyed. If you're sitting here today and you believe the Bible, you're one of the very few people that you will ever find in this world that believe the Bible anymore. Honestly, they've ditched it. They've ditched it. And all the people talking about a generic God, they talk about, oh, this God, it's not a God of the Bible. It's not the God of Genesis 1:1. It's some God they make up and say, well, God bless America. How about America get right with God and try to be a blessing to the cause of Jesus Christ? God's not going to bless this mess. I mean, He's merciful and long-suffering, and I know that He gives favor to people that don't deserve it. I understand that. But He's not going to come along and say, I'm just going to breathe on America and use America in a mighty way. He's just taking one finger at a time off this country until utter destruction comes upon America. Amen. But the faith in the Word of God, the Bible, the belief in the Bible is gone. The foundation of the Bible is pretty much gone for most people. The faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is almost gone. Even churches aren't preaching it anymore. They're preaching a works salvation. A works to get it, a works to keep it, a maybe-so salvation. Because the foundation has been destroyed. Not Jesus Christ, that foundation, but the belief in the Bible and the belief in the blood, the belief in the book. The belief in the book writer. Amen. The foundation has been destroyed. The faith is almost gone. The family. you know, that whole focus on a family movement, first of all, they left the Bible. They use anything they want. They can pull something out of the air and just make something up. But they're right on this. God used the family to be the foundation of a country, of a movement, of his system, based on a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, that first relationship between a male and a female, producing fruit, some good, some bad. But God set the family unit up to be that way. And he gave, now forget Dr. Spock that never had any kids that wrote a book on how to raise kids, amen. But God gave you a book on how to structure a family. Jesus Christ is the head of the family. The husband is the head of the wife, and the husband and wife are head of the children. And the devil says, what if we just flip that upside down and put a little Jesus down here at the bottom? See, that foundation's been destroyed. That's why you have these people running around taking TVs out of Walmart and not paying for them and laughing and making videos of it and putting it on the internet, thumbing their nose at the authority like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It'd be funny if somebody enforced the law and they went and arrested every one of them, made them not just take the TV set back, but work for Walmart for free for a year, amen? That'd be worse than a prison sentence. Now find the SpaghettiOs, amen? We keep moving them every 6 weeks. But the foundations have been destroyed. And again, the correcting of children, you know, like, well, you know, little Johnny, 1, 2, 3. By the time you get 3, Johnny done lit another house on fire, amen? The fire that needed to be lit needed to be in Johnny's britches before he got the matches out again. Amen. But the foundations have been destroyed. The foundation has to be Jesus Christ. The foundation has to be the Word of God. The foundation of everything that's good that comes through people has to be on a family based on the Bible with a mother and a father and children that fall into subjection of the Word of God. That's the foundation. And the foundations are destroyed. If the foundations be destroyed, they are destroyed. What shall the righteous do? Well, I mean, I don't think God left that question unanswered. I think the writer was like, what do we do now? You ever feel like that? Now what? November, when we, you know, wake up and find out 85 gazillion people that aren't even citizens voted for the wrong bozo, and there we got him again. And 4 people voted for the other guy that has 1 million people at the rallies. Amen. And then they're challenging those 4 votes. But Chico Hernandez that lives in Guatemala, he got to vote 6 times. Amen. Amen. And your great-great-great-grandmother that never voted Democrat in her life voted 7 times after she'd passed on 45 years ago. Amen. What shall the righteous do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. Pray. Pray. Pray that God will get us out of here. Pray that God will save some of these leaders before they die and go to hell. Pray that we stay on the right track and do the right things and end in God's will. The foundations are destroyed. What shall the righteous do? And when I say righteous, not that we're great people or anything like that. We have Jesus Christ's righteousness, and we are the righteous because we have been saved. We've been blood-bought, born again, not because we wake up in the morning and we're just great. It's because God gave us the righteousness of His Son. What shall the righteous do? We can pray. We can preach. We can tell other people, hey, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. You need Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what He did for me. I was on my way to hell. I was headed there, and if I'd have died that second, I would have went. But God got a hold of me. I realized that the only hope I had was putting my confidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I called on Him and asked Him to forgive me and save me. And He saved me. And He saved you too. You can pray. You can preach. You can praise God. So what is there to praise God about? Well, you're saved. You belong to Him, not the government. Amen. We're getting out of here. Amen. One of these days we'll be in heaven forever. We'll be with the Lord forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord after the rapture. Praise God. You know what? I praise God about this too, for this. Praise the Lord for this. We can meet together as like-minded believers and talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. I can hold this book up today and I can say this is the Word of God. And there's at least a couple people that believe that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I'd hate to go into church and say, this is the Word of God, and then one person go, yeah. And the rest of them go, I don't know, maybe this is our foundation. Our foundation is based on it is written. Jesus Christ spiritually is our foundation. They can't destroy those. The devil tried to get rid of Jesus Christ. He came back out of the grave. The devil's tried to get rid of the Word of God. You know what the Bible says? The words of the Lord are pure words of silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We still got a Bible. And when the Lord calls us out of here, there'll still be a Bible. When the world's gone to hell and Satan's running things, there'll still be a Bible. When Jesus Christ comes back and battles Armageddon battle and blood runs bridle deep on the horses as he tramples out the enemies, casts the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire, there'll still be a Bible. When Jesus Christ binds the devil for 1,000 years and throws him into captivity for 1,000 years and he rules and reigns with Jesus rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, there'll still be a Bible. When Jesus Christ, at the end of that thing, he comes to the battle of Gog and Magog, fire comes down from heaven, devours the enemies, there'll still be a Bible. At the great white throne judgment, there'll still be a Bible. Matter of fact, it'll be open. And after that great white throne of judgment, the heaven and earth passing away and all that stuff's gone, and elements melt with the fervent heat and on into eternity, you know what there's still going to be? There's still going to be a Bible. Amen. The devil couldn't destroy Jesus Christ. He can't destroy God's Word. But he's destroyed every other thing that's hooked to that foundation. The foundation has been destroyed. What shall the righteous do? Hang on to what's left. The foundation that cannot be destroyed. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, he said, but my Word shall not pass away. You can pray. You can preach. You can praise the Lord. He's coming back. He's coming back. We can look for him and pray for his coming. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. If the foundation be destroyed. Now that the foundation has been destroyed, pray, preach, and praise the Lord because he's coming back. Every single crazy thing you see outside the walls of this church house and every bizarre mess you see out there and wonder how and why, just thank God that you know he's coming back. Praise God. Praise God. And he's not going to leave us in this mess, no matter how bad some Christians want to stay. Amen. We're leaving. Pray, preach, and praise the Lord. Father, we love you and thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the foundations that cannot be destroyed. Lord, we understand the underpinnings of everything that you wanted to do that was good, that everything you did that was good, the devil has tried to mess with, and we believe and we understand and we know that Jesus Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the rock of our everything, Lord, he could not be destroyed. And we know that your Word could not be destroyed and your Word will prevail. Your Word has already prevailed. And Lord, we thank you for that. In the meantime, help us to be people that pray, people that preach, and people that praise your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.